Hey guys, we're the Hard Time Strongman Podcast, sharing up a very classic man. And today we are continuing on with our monthly homesteading episode. And today we are going to talk about sewing, specifically just basic hand sewing. Of course, gold standard would be if you had a good sewing machine, but we are going off the assumption that you don't or you can't. So references will be in the description. We'll also throw up on our show notes on the Patreon, but we are touching on our manliness, Hello Sewing, Grandline Studio, Spruce Crafts, basically just places that, you know, really take in and really dig into that skill set. Is a really cool skill set that I firmly believe that you should be investing in. But guys, I'm 7. 6 is doing hurricane stuff with his hurricane friends out in Florida, so he could not join me today. So unfortunately, we will not have his banter along with us, but we will make it through. So intro, like I said, we're continuing on our homestead series, but we're going to talk about basic clothing repair with the focus on sewing by hand. This dips a little bit into the fieldcraft territory, but so do a lot of these homesteading skills. You're going to see a lot of overlap here, and you know, I think that's for a reason. Once again, we're not talking about sewing machines, but absolutely, you should do yourself a favor and buy a good sewing machine and learn how to use it 1000%. But starting off with how to thread a needle. So how to thread a needle. Hold the thread between your thumb and index, your first and second fingers. Pinch the thread until you can barely see it between your fingertips, between your thumb and your first finger. With your other hand holding the sewing needle, bring the needle and the thread together. So you should be able to see the thread through the eye of the needle. And you're going to push the eye of the needle onto the tip of the thread. You can also, as you're doing that, kind of open up, push out the thread onto the head of the needle with your other hand. But doing it this way, your fingers give you a stack position to push the head of the needle down onto the thread. Also, you have something to anchor off of, and this stops the thread from fraying. So you also wet the end of the thread with your tongue. That can help keep everything together. But keeping the thread pinched together, pushing the needle through the head of the needle, when you release, the needle should be on the thread. At that point, you would, you know, tie your knot and you're good to go. But then if you don't have, you know, typical normal thread available, these are some thread alternatives. You can use micro 550 cord, which is essentially the same thing as thread, just a little bit thicker, a little more heavy duty. You can use the 550 cord innards. If you've ever opened up 550 cord, you'll see, I think there's 7 smaller white strands within there. You can use those or tooth floss. But some basic hand stitches are the whip stitch, the back stitch, and the basting stitch. So the whip stitch is a quick, easy, versatile stitch for seams and hems. Your method, thread the needle onto the knot, like we just talked about. Pull the thread needle from the back of the fabric where you want to begin the stitch, approximately a quarter inch off the seam. So if you are looking at the fabric that you're trying to sew together, push from the back, first away from you, towards yourself. Insert the needle directly across or up and down from the first emerging point. So the seam where you're working with, if you're trying to sew two pieces of fabric together, think of where these fabrics are meeting as a horizontal plane that you're looking at. So up or down, on top or on bottom from the first emerging point. Then you're going to insert the needle farther down the line that you'll be sewing at diagonal to this emergent point to where you're coming out of, at diagonal from that further down the line, the new insertion point where you're pushing the needle through should be directly to the side of that first insertion point. So even though you're going at a diagonal because you're alternating up, down, on top and on bottom, right? This should be uniform all the way across. So we said at the beginning, you know, typically a quarter inch off the seam, this should be uniform all the way down. And you're going to continue this until your sewing job is complete. Now, on the back of the fabric you're sewing, the thread should appear to be a continuous stream of the letter N. So down, up, or up, down, across, just N all the way, zigzag all the way down. Once you get to the end, tie off, clean up your fabric, and thread. By clean up, I mean cutting off any excess. If you have, if these are synthetic fabrics, you can use a lighter and you can, you know, melt these hanging threads or loose fabric so that it, you know, doesn't come undone or cause any issues down the line.
This podcast is sponsored by Blackbeard Firestarter. Blackbeard Firestarter has been our first choice in Firestarter since they introduced their Firestarter rope years ago.
Blackbeard offers their fire starters, their fire plugs, arc lighters, ferro rods, stormproof matches, everything you need to get a fire started.
Their products are made right here in the U.S., wind and waterproof, have an insane burn time, they're basically dummy proof.
And help you out, Blackbeard let us cherry pick from their store everything that we want, everything that we thought you needed to get a fire started, and we call it our Hard Time Strong Men Fire Kit. On top of that, they're also offering a 15% discount on anything in their store when you enter code STRONGMEN at checkout.
We can't recommend Blackbeard enough. They stand behind their products, and so do we.
Be sure to check them out at blackbeardfire.com and on Instagram at blackbeardfire. And as always, stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight.
Moving on to the back stitch. This is a strong, permanent stitch for sewing seams. This is a little more complicated, a little more in depth, but once you get the hang of it, once you get into the groove of it, it does go very fast. Once again, you're going to thread the needle and tie your knot. Now, insert the needle where you want to begin the stitch, front to back, through both fabrics, so all the way through. Then you're going to pull the needle back through a short distance in front of, so moving in the direction that you're trying to stitch your previous stitch. Then insert the needle back into the fabric into the middle of your first stitch. Pull the needle up through the fabric at the same distance forward as you did the first stitch. So stitch one to stitch two, you're going back in the middle of that. And you're going the same distance out further. So two steps forward, one step back. Once again, guys, we are going to you have images of all this stuff so you can follow along as you're listening. But you're going to continue this until sewing is complete. The way that I also think about it, so two steps forward, one step back, I also think of it as if you're doodling, just making sequential loop-de-loops, like down a line of paper, because you're going the same distance every time, but you're going the same distance every time, but you're doubling back as you go forward. And last stitch, we'll talk about the basting stitch. So this is a long removable running stitch that is used to temporarily sew fabrics together. So this is used when you're trying to hold everything together so you can go back and do like a backstitch to, you know, make something really strong and really professional, right? So you're thread your needle, knot it as per normal. You're gonna do this, you know, every time that you start sewing. Stitch through the fabric, front to back, all the way through. Then you're gonna skip forward a small distance and you're gonna stitch back to front. So go in, come out a little bit, back out, And you're going to keep doing that in a straight line until you're done. This does not need to, these don't need to be super close together. This doesn't have to be super tight. Like I said, this is a placeholder. This is a temporary sewing job so that you can double back and do a more professional job right after. You're just using this to hold everything together, so you're not having to, you know, wish you had a third hand. Once you get to the end, you're going to sew 1 to 2 stitches at the end of the basting stitch to hold it in place. That's basically it. Now, a little more specifics. How to sew a rip. So rips that can be approximated or rips that can be brought back together. So you're going to insert or inspect rather and clean up. So like we talked about earlier, either cutting off excess or burning off excess loose threads. Then you're going to reinforce the rip with an iron-on interfacing patch or an extra strip of fabric. You can pin this or use the basting stitch to hold this in place. Then you're going to stitch over the rip with a stitch of your choice using appropriate tension, tying off when you complete. So the reinforcement is important because wherever you have a rip like this, obviously the fabric is compromised. So it's not as strong as we want it to be. Putting down literally just a little bit of extra fabric that you are sewing onto gives the rip that structure so that you don't have a repeat rip down the line. Afterwards, you're going to inspect your work, clean up any loose threads. And optional, you can seal the seam with a sealant that protects from fraying or water. How to patch a hole. So this is for rips or holes where the fabric is missing or fabric can't be brought back together, can't be approximated. So this is typical on ripped elbows and knees. Once again, you're going to inspect and clean up. So cut or burn off loose threads. Then you're going to select an appropriate patch, typically a similar pattern or color, durability, weight, you know, what have you, of the parent fabric that you're going to be sewing this onto. Cut your patch to the size and shape and fit underneath the ripped area, about an inch larger around than the ripped area. Your patch should be on the inside of the parent fabric, right side up. So the part that you want facing outward should be facing outwards, should be on the inside of the fabric. What would be touching your skin or fabric or clothing that is, you know, closer to your body. You're going to secure the patch in place via pins or basting stitches. And you're going to stitch around the torn area, joining the new and parent fabrics together. Then you're going to tie off. Inspect your work. Clean up any looser excessive fabrics from the parent fabric or patch. And call it a day. That is important because, you know, one, for a comfort factor, if you have a patch on the inside of, you know, like your knees and you have, you know, 2 inches of extra fabric, that's going to be pretty obnoxious to constantly be rubbing against you. But also, that's something that can be caught. And then if that rips as well, then you're just perpetuating the issue. And last, how to sew a button. So thread your needle, not the end, as per normal. And then you're going to make an anchor X where the new button is going to be sewn. So run your needle from the back of the fabric to the front, about what, 2 to 4 times per side. And you're going to make an X with the thread on your fabric. The X marks where your button is going to be and acts as a reinforced anchor point to account for wear and tear. So this is all one continuous bit of thread that you're sewing this X on. Then you're going to place the button rather onto the X and push the needle through. So from the back to the front through a hole in the button, pulling the thread tight. Then add a spacer. So this could be a second needle, a pin, a toothpick, a match, whatever, on top of the button. And you're going to push the needle down through the hole opposite what you just entered on the button. Buttons typically have, you know, four holes. So if you enter on the bottom right, you're going to go, you know, up over the spacer onto the top right. At that point, you should see a thin line of thread going from one hole of the button to the other. Self-explanatory. You're going to repeat this for three sets per hole of the button you're sewing. Then after the last set, come back up from the back of the fabric to the front, but don't pass through the button. Instead, you're going to bring the needle and thread around, out and away from underneath the button. You're going to loop that thread around the stitches that you made. So the around the thread that is going from the fabric to the button, wrap your thread around that six times. So the thread that's connecting the button to the fabric, six times, wrap it around and pull that tight. Then push the thread back through the fabric to the back. So needle from the front to the back. Tie the thread off snug to the back side of the fabric and cut off your excess thread. And last thing I have, guys, is alternatives to needle and thread. I know this is the hand sewing needle and thread episode, but if you absolutely can't do it or you have other options available that you just need a quick fix, you can't take the time, you can use an adhesive patch, a field patch, I call them. They came in our fatigues, but that's just a down and dirty plug and play. You know, rip the back off, throw it down. It's like a big sticker, big fabric sticker. You can use safety pins, duct tape or 100 mile an hour tape, or super glue. But once again, these are stop gaps. It is better if you sew it. Obviously, gold standard is if you have a sewing machine, but if you don't, it's important to learn and know the skill set so that you can make your own repairs in the field or at home, whatever you guys need to do. I run my clothes through the dirt. I don't buy a lot of clothes, so whatever I have, I use and abuse until it's dead. So this helps give a little bit more life to what I'm using. But once again, guys, I know this was a shorter episode, but I think that sewing is really cool. I think it's a great old school skill set that everybody should have. Not a lot of people do. I got to dip my toes in a little bit when I was in the Army, just because, you know, name of the game, that was kind of what we had to do. But I want to share that with you guys. So, you know, this will be quite a while after these storms have first hit, but I do want to say we still have our thoughts and prayers out for all the people, all the families affected by these hurricanes, you know, in the States. It's a hell of a thing. But we pray for all the families. We pray for all the people that are suffering because of this. We pray for the Lord's protection and provision for his peace that surpasses all understanding. And we are so, so thankful for everybody who is stepping up to take care of people, their families, their neighbors, their communities. It's exactly what we want to emulate. It's exactly what we love to see in the world that we're trying to help build. So, as always, guys, for the Hard Time Strongman podcast, cheering up a very classy man, stay in the fight.